KOIN in Portland. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. A team of federal investigators has arrived in New York to try to find out what caused Tuesday's crash of a 727 jet in which 109 people were killed. I'm Ann Krausman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Chief Investigator Edwin Nellums of the National Transportation Safety Board is not saying at this time what caused the crash, but he does say four investigative committees will be set up on Wednesday. The aircraft's voice recorder and flight recorder were recovered from the wreckage and are being flown to Washington. The Eastern airliner from New Orleans crashed and burned just short of landing at Kennedy International Airport Tuesday afternoon during a rainstorm. 109 people are confirmed dead, 14 more are alive, most in serious or critical condition. Melvin Abbott, a spokesman for Jamaica Hospital, says the eight survivors brought into his emergency room were in what he called a fringe area of shock, but were able to talk before being sedated.
All of them so far have expressed complete amazement. They really didn't know what happened. All of a sudden, they were on the ground, and the next thing they were in the hospital. They have no idea how it happened, at least from those that we've heard talk so far.
All 14 survivors suffered flash burns and multiple fractures. Out at the crash site, rescue workers are still sifting through debris, looking for more victims. More news in a minute.
If you ever use a hemorrhoid preparation, you should know this. Vaseline Brands has news. It's Hemorrhoid Ointment. Hemorrhoid works fast, helps protect, with a proven medical ingredient for soothing occlusion. And Hemorrhoid gives you only this key ingredient, so it gives you more than the leading preparation. Now, at your first sign of pain, burning, and itching, turn to soothing Hemorrhoid. Hemorrhoid from Vaseline Brands. Use only as directed.
Hear ye, hear ye. Everybody's heard of Thomas Paine, but what do you know about Elizabeth Loring or Mother Ann Lee? CBS News correspondent Charles Osgood tells you about them on our big holiday special, American Profile. 30 true stories about patriots and rebels, well-known leaders and unsung heroes. Be sure to hear Charles Osgood and American Profile. 30 special broadcasts the weekend of Saturday, July 5th and Sunday, July 6th on the CBS Radio Network.
Israeli Defense Minister Shimon Peres made a surprise declaration Tuesday saying Israel should try to reach an interim peace settlement not only with Egypt, but with Syria, too. That position is the opposite of one held by Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin. He is pushing for an accord with Egypt, but not Syria. Bruno Wassertile has more on Peres's speech.
Peres claimed that America's idea of an overall Arab-Israeli settlement calls for Israel to pull back to its 1967 borders with only minor territorial adjustments. And Peres told the Labor Party Assembly in Tel Aviv, this does not jibe with Israel's idea of having defensible borders, even in the framework of a final peace settlement with the Arabs. The defense minister declared that an overall settlement could not be reached now unless Israel wanted to see Jerusalem a divided city again and have Soviet missiles in Arab hands positioned less than 10 miles from downtown Tel Aviv. On the question of an interim settlement, he said Israel would be ready to return the Abu Rudess oil fields to Egypt, but not the two strategic passes that constitute Israel's main defensive natural resource in the Sinai. Bruno Wassertile for CBS News in Tel Aviv.
The special Senate committee investigating the CIA continues closed-door sessions Wednesday and will hear from former CIA official William Harvey. He has been linked to an alleged plot to assassinate Cuba's Premier Castro. On Tuesday, the committee heard from reputed mobster John Roselli about his role in the alleged plot. Chairman Frank Church said afterwards that Roselli's account of the alleged plot was basically the same as the press had reported, and that Roselli filled the committee in on the relationship between the CIA and the underworld. Now this message.
Mrs. Karen Wolfson knows how to take care of herself.
If I have one of these headaches, I take the Anacin. There's something in it that works, whatever it is.
Right, Mrs. Wolfson. While all three leading pain relievers reach an effective level in your bloodstream in minutes, in the final analysis, only Anacin hits the highest level. This difference is the extra pain reliever Anacin provides.
I've always tried others, and I always go back to Anacin.
And millions take Anacin without stomach upset. Anacin, for a higher, higher, higher level of pain reliever. Take only as directed.
If you've begun to doubt that initiative and personal dedication to a job can still be found, there is a man who can help you. He can put you in touch with some of the hardest working men and women in every field. People who have come through their disabilities with skills, determination, and a sense of responsibility. If you want people with initiative working at your company, write your state director of vocational rehabilitation. His office is in your state capital.
A public service message brought to you on behalf of the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare and the Advertising Council.
The price you pay for beef at the supermarket reached a record high this month, but according to the Agriculture Department, prices will probably go down around the middle of July because of an expected increase in supply. A department specialist says average retail prices for all cuts of beef hit a new high of $1.54 a pound the first week in June. That's up 6 cents from the May average. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
Governor Bob Straub began a 3-day listening and fact-finding tour today in southwestern Oregon. He says he doesn't know all the answers to people's problems, but hopes to gain insight as he listens. Straub told business and community leaders in Coquille today that the state would give more help than it has in the past to improve roads from inland markets to the southern Oregon coast. Workers have returned to their jobs at Publishers Paper Company mills in Oregon City and Newburgh after an 83-day strike. A contract was signed yesterday with the Association of Western Pulp and Paper Workers, clearing the way for the strike to end. The Oregon Board of Higher Education has approved a tuition increase of 12.6% at Oregon state-supported colleges and universities. Also approved were increases in board and room costs and 3 mandatory student fees. The tuition hike works out to an increase of $18 a term for resident undergraduates, making their tuition $161 a term. Faculty members at Oregon colleges and universities have been granted a minimum 8% salary increase next year by the State Board of Higher Education. The board also approved merit increases, promotions, and adjustments of wage inequities for a maximum of 13.5% increase. A Corvallis woman, Grace Finney, has been reappointed to the State Environmental Quality Commission. Governor Bob Straub named Mrs. Finney to a 4-year term. She has been on the commission since 1973. The weather forecast for the Portland-Vancouver area. Showers overnight, decreasing during the day Wednesday with partial clearing. Showers likely Thursday. Lows near 50 degrees, highs in the low 60s. Southwest winds at 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of measurable rain 70% tonight, 60% Wednesday, and 40% Wednesday night. The temperature right now in downtown Portland stands at 51 degrees. That's KOIN News to 1108. I'm Bill Garrity.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Since the beginning of time, men have been consumed with a curiosity about their past. The customs, beliefs, and lifestyles of our ancestors are significant signposts along the road leading to the discovery of the origins of man. Man's diligent search for clues to his beginnings has taken us to the far corners of the earth, under the seven seas, and to the burial of ancient civilizations. Engaged in this ceaseless quest have been men of science, men of goodwill, men with a zest for adventure, and rogues with a lust for gold.
If this likeness of me, Tupac Amaru, be violated by plunderers, then will the wrath of Viracocha bring to them a swift and certain doom, which will pursue them to their graves and beyond.
But I've come here to this temple and to you for help. We've got to help Nancy.
For the woman you love, there can be no help. If she keeps the mask of Tupac Amaru, she is doomed forever.
Our mystery drama, The Mask of Tupac Amaru, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Murray Burnett and stars Ruby Dee and Michael Wager.
It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser, and Sinoff, the sinus medicines.
I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you say that, you've said a lot of things nobody else can say.
A lot of things, like Beechwood aging for 100% natural carbonation. That's how the Budweiser people age their beer. Nobody else does it that special way. But then, nobody else is brewing the king of beers. I could tell you a lot of other things about Budweiser and why it's the largest selling beer in the world. But it all comes back to the Budweiser taste, and that speaks for itself. Loud and clear. Hear it talking?
There is no one but one. There's only something left.
You've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
A way of life. Each one of us must find a way of life. A way of life that you can share. A way that shows you really care for little babes so soon to life. Each precious moment that you give will give some child a chance to live. So join the march of dimes today and find a way of life.
Man's preoccupation with the mystery of death and the possibility of life hereafter has made graveyards a favorite setting for eerie stories of the supernatural. Graveyards have also been the site of archaeological explorations to satisfy man's curiosity about his past. Our tale involves an archaeological expedition, the grave of a legendary hero of the Incas, and an ancient curse. However, it couldn't have a more modern setting for a start. The elegant lobby of the luxurious Hotel Savoy in Cuzco, Peru.
Nancy! Nancy!
Carlos! What are you doing in Peru? No, don't answer. Your being here at this time makes everything perfect. Darling, you've made me so happy, I'm afraid something's going to happen to spoil it.
You're so right.
I can't wait to tell you what's been... What do you mean?
I visited the dig, and I was happy to see that no one had been in the grave yet. Nancy, you're not to go into that grave.
I can't believe what I'm hearing. I just finished a press conference, and Professor Brady practically gave me the entire credit for discovering the grave site. And the man I'm going to marry tells me I'm not to go into the grave.
Professor Brady didn't do you any favor when he handed the credit to you.
All right, Carlos. It's obvious you didn't come here because you missed your fiancé or because you wanted to congratulate me on the discovery. So what brought you down?
Have you really uncovered the grave of Tupac Amaru?
We're not absolutely certain, but I think so. I really do. You see, this isn't part of the regular dig which we started west of Machu Picchu. It's in the Urubamba Valley, but off the tourist track. And one day I saw this indentation, and I had a feeling, a strong feeling, and I got permission from the professor to do some digging. We hadn't got very far before I realized that my hunch was right, and I was onto something tremendous.
You don't understand what you've done, do you?
Evidently you don't. I'm going to be famous. Think of it, Carlos. A graduate student stumbling upon...
A graduate student who evidently doesn't know much about Incan history.
Oh, really? Perhaps you'd like to teach me.
Somebody had better. Before you walk into the grave of Tupac Amaru and sign your own death warrant.
Stand back. I must insist that anyone not officially connected with this expedition move away from the entrance to the grave.
Professor Brady, I must talk to you.
Who are you?
Professor, I'd like you to meet my fiancé, Carlos Ucayla.
Kyla, that proud Inca name alone would entitle you to be present at this historic moment.
Professor, I must insist that Nancy doesn't enter the grave of Tupac Amaru.
Well, we're not yet certain that this grave is indeed the burial place of Amaru.
But there is a chance.
I don't understand. This is Nancy's...
He's worried about the curse, Professor.
Well, the whole story of Amaru and the curse may very well be a myth.
With all due respect, Professor, you're not going to claim that the rebellion Tupac Amaru led was a myth.
Well, certainly not.
And his death and savage mutilation at the hands of the Spanish conquerors.
An historical fact. But you must be aware that everything after his death is open to question. The whole story of the Incans stealing his mutilated corpse from the Spaniards and burying it secretly along with a curse from the great god Viracocha must be treated as mythology.
You can treat it any way you like. But Nancy is not going in there.
Surely I think that should be her decision. Nancy?
Of course I'm going.
No, you are not.
Carlos, you've embarrassed me enough. Now you'll either let me go, or I'll have Señor Alvarado and his policemen put you under arrest.
Yes?
It's me, Nancy. Please forgive me, Carlos.
Nancy, was it the grave of Tupac Amaru?
You haven't heard?
I've been sitting here in my room thinking.
Oh, Carlos, it was. And in the grave was the most magnificent death mask I've ever seen. Do you realize what this is going to mean to me?
Do you?
You're still angry because of the rotten way I behaved, but I've already asked you to forgive me, and if you do, I'll forgive you.
Forgive me? For what?
For being a silly, superstitious idiot.
There was nothing inscribed on the mask.
Of course there was. Superb hieroglyphic writing.
Did you translate it?
Well, not completely. It's in Quechuan, and I was wondering if you'd give us some help with the translation. Here's a copy I made.
I don't want to have anything to do with it.
Carlos, please, for my sake. You know, ever since you came here, I have the feeling I'm not talking to Carlos Ucayla, but to a stubborn Incan Indian desperately clinging to beliefs that were exploded 500 years ago.
I don't like the idea of your being in danger.
Oh, come off it, Carlos. You're far too intelligent to believe in the supernatural power of some words written by some old Indian on a five-century-old death mask. To say you believe that is...
It's the height of idiocy. You have no fear of words written on the most sacred relic in Incan history. Give me the paper.
Thank you, Carlos. I appreciate it.
I'd rather not take thanks for this. If this likeness be violated by plunderers, then will the wrath of Viracocha bring to them a swift and certain doom which will pursue them to their graves and beyond.
Well, really impressive, isn't it?
Are you enough impressed so that you'll return the mask?
Carlos, you know very well that's not possible. It now belongs to the government.
It belongs to the people who made it. And I swear by whatever god you want to believe in, that I'm going to give it back to them and save you, in spite of yourself.
Who are you? What do you mean by coming into my room? How did you get...
Softly, Professor Brady. Here's my card. And accept my apologies for the intrusion.
Francisco Fortune. That's obviously not your name. And whatever it is you're selling, I'm not buying, so get out.
As a scientist, Professor Brady, you should know better than to leap to conclusions. I'm not a seller. I'm a buyer.
Then you're certainly in the wrong room. I have nothing to sell.
Once again, an erroneous conclusion. How about the death mask of Tupac Amaru?
You're here to ask me to sell you the mask? You must be a madman.
Aren't all collectors slightly mad?
If you're really a collector, you would know that you're wasting your time.
My dear Professor, courtesy requires that you hear me out.
Put that gun away.
As you see, it has a silencer. But I do require your attention, and I intend to get it.
Go ahead.
Good. I'm determined to have the mask of Tupac Amaru. I will, of course, pay for it.
You know very well that the theft of the mask will set off shockwaves of earthquake proportion. Any participation by me of such a scheme, no matter how remote, would be discovered, and my life would be ruined.
No, I would never allow that to happen.
You couldn't prevent it.
If I can prove to you that I can, would you go along with the deal?
I believe I've already given you my answer.
I've something to show you that may make you change your mind.
No, not the gun.
No. Some art object which had been created by an employee of mine. Now, with your permission, I'll ask him in. Topa! Professor, this is Topa, a pure-blooded Incan.
How do you do?
Unfortunately, he's mute. But, Professor, he speaks with his hands.
May I answer the phone?
Of course. But remember, I still have this gun.
Hello?
Professor Brady?
Speaking?
This is Carlos Ukayla. You may remember we met at the gravesite.
Oh, of course. Nancy's young man. Can I help you?
Can we meet?
You mean now?
As soon as possible.
What do you wish to see me about?
The mask. The death mask of Tupac Amaru.
Oh, yes. You were deeply worried about the curse.
I still am, and that's what I want to talk to you about.
Well, give me a ring tomorrow at the office.
Professor Brady, couldn't we set up an appointment now? It could be any time at your convenience.
I'm afraid not. Call me. Before we were interrupted, you were telling me about Topa.
Oh, yes. I'm saying that Topa is a genius. He makes replicas of works of art that simply cannot be distinguished from the originals.
You mean he's a forger?
No, you can't use the word forger for Topa's work. Well, you won't have to take my word for it. He's brought samples along. Topa, open your knapsack and show the professor some of your things.
I assume you wouldn't have gone to all this trouble unless you had a buyer.
Well, I'm happy to see that your thinking has become more positive. You deserve an honest answer. At the moment, I have no buyer. Oh, yes, Topa, that's a good choice. I'm sure the professor will recognize that figurine.
I certainly do. The original is in the La Corredera Museum in Lima. May I have it?
Well, go on, give it to the professor, Topa. Let him examine it as closely as he likes.
A remarkable piece of work.
Topa, I think the necklace with the hollow gold beads should be next. Yeah, that's right. Hold it up.
I don't have to examine it closely.
Surely you recognize this fox head? It is of gold, copper, and silver alloy, exactly like the mask of Tupac Amaru.
I know it. It's in the Lynn Museum in Stuttgart. I am impressed.
Thank you.
Not with you, with Topa. You're right. He is an artist. I don't have to see any more. I'm not interested.
There is one more piece of Topa's I want you to see. Topa, please, the head of Atahualpa. Hand it over. There. Now, Professor, what do you think of that?
But this is no forgery. This is genuine. This is a real head of Atahualpa.
May I congratulate you on your expertise, Professor? And now let me point out that for years, you and the world have believed the copy in the Marmaron Museum to have been genuine.
Yes, but
exactly. I'm sure you see now that we can do business together without you running the slightest risk.
Tangled webs of deception are unfortunately not unknown in the art world. Greed has been such a powerful motive that many collectors have chosen to dismiss as nonsense the curses that ancient civilizations have laid down to protect their treasures. Some have proven false, and some have exacted a terrible and tragic price. I shall be back in a moment with Act Two.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablet?
No, the sinus medicine that relieves headache and congestion, internal sinus pressure and postnasal drip.
You mean Sinoff?
Exactly.
Compare Sinoff tablets with anything you've ever taken for sinus. No sinus tablet you can buy relieves more symptoms. Sinoff gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a powerful sinus strainer. Sinoff works fast to help sinus pain while you drain.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box. Take when needed, only as directed.
I was really happy.
You were?
I was really happy when the new minimum wage...
You mean the $2.10 an hour minimum wage?
Yeah, the $2.10 an hour minimum wage started.
You were?
I was really happy because it affects most workers.
And in most occupations all over the country.
With a few exemptions and exceptions.
Really?
But for the most part, the new minimum wage...
You said $2.10 an hour.
The new federal minimum wage.
If you have any questions,
check the U.S. Labor Department's wage and hour division in your area.
Wage and hour office in my area. They care.
About me?
They care about you.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, the worldwide trend today is toward a universal system of measurement, the metric system. The names of this new system may sound strange to you at first, but fortunately, there are only a few words that have to be learned for everyday use, and these are the millimeter, centimeter, meter, and kilometer for describing length and distance, the milliliter and liter for capacity or volume, the gram, kilogram, and ton for weight, the kilometer per hour for highway speed, and the degree Celsius or centigrade for temperature. You're already using some of these terms more than you may realize. For example, when you go to the supermarket, you see weights expressed in grams on more and more packaged items. Now, for more information on this whole metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
The discovery of the long-sought grave and death mask of Tupac Amaru, legendary Incan hero, has electrified the art world. It has also brought Professor Brady an unwelcome visitor, a self-acknowledged art thief who calls himself Francisco Fortune, and his Incan employee, a mute named Topa. Fortune has placed before Professor Brady an ingenious scheme for stealing the mask of Tupac Amaru.
Well, Professor... what do you think now?
I acknowledge that Topa is a genius and you're a resourceful thief, but I am neither. So I wish you gentlemen good night.
Think, Professor. You're going to photograph the mask. One photograph. A well-lit close-up is all that Topa needs to make a replica that cannot be told from the original. Then a quick substitution by you. No one is the wiser, and you're $25,000 richer.
Topa seems to be saying that he cannot do it.
What?
Look at him. He's shaking his head, and I think he's saying no. Am I right, Topa?
Topa will do as I say.
I think not. I believe Topa's more afraid of the curse of Viracocha than he is of you.
Topa... do you remember the people who tore out your tongue and made you mute? Yes, I see you do. You know that these people are still very angry with you. Just think what they would do to you if I told them you were no longer useful to me.
Oh, stop torturing him, Fortune. It's not going to make any difference in my decision.
Well, I was merely showing you, Professor, that everything can be arranged. You will make the mask for me, Topa. Ha, 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 fine. You see, Professor, in order to get what you want, all you have to know is the pressure points.
There's no pressure you can exert that would make me change my mind.
A pity. Come, Topa. We will leave Professor Brady to dream of the $25,000 he could have had.
I have better things to dream of. Oh, by the way, Fortune.
Yes?
Unlike Topa, you seem to have no fear of the curse of Viracocha.
I, my dear Professor, I wasn't the one who desecrated the grave of Tupac Amaru. It was you, Professor. And if there really is something to the curse, I think you'd be the one who fears.
Professor Brady's office?
It's me, darling. Where were you this morning? I waited in the coffee shop for almost an hour.
Oh, I'm sorry, but I had to rush here because the professor went out to the dig.
Amaro's grave?
No, the other dig. He still has hopes for something there, and he's been neglecting it. I should have left word, but...
He made an appointment with me.
Oh, he told me you were going to call, and he asked me to handle it.
Damn fool!
Well, you can call Brady a lot of things, but hardly that.
Nancy, can you meet me?
When?
Right away.
I'm sorry, darling, but the professor left me to mind the store and...
Okay, I'll be up in 15 minutes.
Carlos. Carlos, oh, Carlos.
Nancy, I don't want any arguments, no objections. Just get your jacket on and come with me.
What?
We're getting married.
Oh, wow. You mean today?
No, tomorrow back in L.A. I've made all the arrangements by phone, and I don't mind telling you they cost a fortune.
Then I'm sorry you wasted your money.
Does that mean you don't want to marry me?
Oh, Carlos, stop playing games.
I have to do something to get you out of Peru.
So you decided I was a lovesick little girl who'd be so delighted by the idea of being Mrs. Carlos Ucayla, I'd forget everything else and jump on the first plane out of here.
Okay. What will get you on a plane?
My own ticket. It's dated 2 weeks from today.
Where's the mask?
It's in the safe behind me.
May I see it?
Why do you want to see it?
Curiosity. I'll never have an opportunity to get this close to it again. It'll be locked away behind glass in the National Museum, surrounded by a guard.
Oh, darling, I do love you.
What brings that up?
Oh, I love you because you're so darn good-looking and also because you're so transparent.
I love you, too. But how about letting me see the mask?
So you can snatch it out of my hand, run out of here, and take it to... Where would you take it, Carlos?
It never occurred to me, but I think about it. It's not bad. It's the lesser of two evils.
You're talking about the curse.
What else?
I know what's happened to you, darling. Believe me, I know and I understand.
I don't need understanding. I need you to open your mind.
We both want the same thing, then. I'll promise to keep mine open if you open yours.
To what?
To the realization that you've come back to the country of your ancestors. You're surrounded by the culture of centuries. The whole atmosphere affects you. It affects me, and I don't have ancestors here.
Well, if you understand that, then you understand how I feel about the curse.
Of course I understand, but that doesn't mean I believe in it.
Why not? You can't understand how a primitive people ever managed to construct a sanctuary like Machu Picchu. But the fact is they did, and it still stands so...
You want me to discard my heritage of scientific knowledge and become a fear-ridden, superstitious fool running from a meaningless curse?
In other words, you believe in everything Incan... Except their religion.
Religion is one thing. Superstition, another.
You wish to see me, senor?
You are the Vilak Umu of this temple?
You do me too much honor. I am a priest, and I am in charge. But alas, these noblest of priests, the Vilak Umus, were wiped out a few years after the conquest. May I have your name?
Carlos Ucayla.
I am Manco Huayna. Welcome to the temple, brother.
I hope I will still be welcome when you hear what brings me to you.
The death mask of Tupac Amaru.
You know?
The whole world knows. Why shouldn't we?
Although I'm an American, you called me brother. I expect that you will talk with me as such. I need your help.
To protect your beloved?
Exactly. Suppose I somehow managed to have the mask returned. Brought to you, perhaps. Would that have any effect on the curse?
You know as well as I that forgiveness would be granted by Viracocha, and only by him.
Thanks. That's all I wanted to hear.
One moment. Where are you going?
To see Professor Brady. If I can talk to him, I'm sure I can make him see the truth.
In that case, you'd better hurry. I've been informed that the professor was taken to the hospital a few hours ago.
My name is Dr. Johannes Schmidt. I'm in charge of this hospital. And before I turn you over to the police, I'm giving you an opportunity to explain your actions.
Very kind of you, Doctor. But before you do any turning over to the police, let me inform you that if you do, I'll sue you and this hospital for
I'm trying to be helpful, but...
Then give me Professor Brady's room number and a pass.
In your present state, I wouldn't permit you to visit any patient in this hospital.
But I can save Professor Brady's life.
Are you a physician?
Oh, good grief. While we sit here talking, Brady is dying.
The professor was admitted because he suffered a bad gash on his foot when he was bathing this morning. A slight infection set in, and it was thought best to hospitalize him. He's hardly dying.
Is that why no visitors are permitted?
You still haven't told me that you're a doctor.
That's immaterial. Professor Brady is being punished for plundering the grave of Tupac Amaru.
Fascinating theory.
If I could talk with Professor Brady for 10 minutes, only 10 minutes, I think I could make him see that there's only one way to save himself.
Hasn't he already brought the wrath of God down upon him by taking the death mask?
But if he returned it, gave it back to the Incans, he would cleanse himself.
No. I'm afraid I can't let you see him.
Why not?
Because you would only upset him.
You'd rather have him die.
There's very little chance of that.
Dr. Schmidt, life support unit, third floor emergency room. Life support unit, third floor emergency room. Dr. Schmidt.
Very court, I beseech thee, show your servant Manco Huayan the way.
Manco, oh, why? I beg your pardon. I apologize for interrupting your prayers.
Oh, you are forgiven, brother. I was sorry to hear that you failed.
I was never given the chance to fail. Professor Brady died while I was trying to get the doctor to let me see him.
Perhaps it was willed that way by Viracocha.
Well, whatever it was, it's going to be a powerful argument to persuade Nancy to do the right thing about the mask.
You have not yet spoken with her.
I can't find her. The hotel says she went out. She never showed up at the hospital. I checked at both the digs and she hasn't been there, so I came to you.
For?
Information. I thought you would know where she is.
This is a temple, brother. A place of worship.
You knew Brady was ill before I did. You'd already heard of his death before I got here. In your eyes, the theft of the mask and the desecration of the grave would justify any action, including the kidnapping of an American who despoiled the grave.
Viracocha does not require my help to carry out his judgments.
Brother, I beg you, tell me where she is.
So that you can then inform the police. You must know that I cannot have the police here.
I swear I won't go to the police. I just want to save that girl.
Would that not be interfering with a just punishment as decreed by Viracocha?
I honestly don't know. Isn't it possible that Viracocha led me here and it's his wish that you tell me about the girl?
You will find her in the house of number 15, Avenida Arequipa.
It has been said that women are wiser than men because they know more and understand less. Carlos Ucayla is convinced that the girl he loves knows more, but understands less than he does, about the power of ancient Incan curses. If he's right, her life is in danger. If he's wrong, well, that has to be saved for Act Three.
Your Lung Association takes great pride in preventing the half a dirty dozen.
They call me tuberculosis. TB for short, but not for long, right? Wrong.
Yeah, I'm chronic bronchitis. That's my trademark. Don't dismiss it lightly, unless you'd like to meet my friend here.
Emphysema, that's me.
The kind of guy who'd steal your last breath. Occasionally, I'm mistaken for...
asthma. I'm strictly impartial. I don't care whose bread I rob. They even steal from kids.
I'm a cigarette. Now, I may be a little, but I'm dangerous. After all, you know what they say about small packages.
Air pollution, alias the Grey Ghost. I can do more damage at one time than all these guys put together just by hanging around.
To join in the fight against breath robbers, see your doctor at the first sign of shortness of breath. Don't smoke and try to avoid polluted air. Your Lung Association considers it a matter of life and breath. Some people think we play ping pong all day. They're wrong. The USO isn't all fun and games. Today, the USO has millions of problems like this one in Germany.
My family's going crazy living in a tiny apartment. Where can we live?
Today's USO has millions of problems like this one in Asia.
I'm hooked on drugs. Where can I get help?
Or this problem in Athens.
Our marriage is breaking up. Can you help us?
Today's USO has little time for ping pong. We've got serious work to do. We've got lots of new problems here and overseas. The problems are big. How big? Well, if someone asks you, who needs the USO? Tell them,
we do! We do!
Over 5 million American military personnel and their families need today's USO. And because we get no government funds, we need all your support. Please give to USO through the United Way or local USO campaign.
Saving people in spite of themselves is a task to which missionaries have devoted their energies over the centuries. The fact that such efforts have often backfired has in no way dampened the enthusiasm of the visionaries. In our story, Carlos Ucala's hope of saving his beloved ran high as he approached the door of number 15, Avenida Arequipa, in Cusco, Peru.
Senor Ucala, you're expected. Oh, please come in.
I've come for my fiancée, Nancy Littleton.
And she's been anxiously awaiting your arrival. She didn't believe us when we told her you'd be here. This way, please.
You're taking me to her?
Indirectly. Now, sit down. Have some coffee.
I want to see Nancy.
All in good time. First, we have some business to discuss.
Miss Littleton is an important member of the expedition. Her disappearance is going to cause an uproar. If I found her, the police will...
Eventually, they will. But perhaps they'll find her corpse.
Why, you fat...
Please. Please. Nothing rash. You can't afford a temper.
Put the gun down. I'll show you what I can afford.
Senor Ucala, you're at a disadvantage. I know everything about you, and you know nothing about me.
I know you're a thug.
My name is Francisco Fortune, and I am a collector. I want the mask of Tupac Amaru, and I mean to have it.
Good luck. I don't want it.
I already know that. I know about the curse, and I also know you believe in it, and the señorita doesn't. I agree with her, and that makes your interest and mine... identical.
Okay. What's your proposal?
That you replace the original mask with an absolutely perfect imitation.
You're asking me to steal the mask, and I'm not a thief.
But I can guarantee that the greatest expert in the world won't know the mask you substitute isn't the original.
Since you've got it all figured out, why do you need me?
Because your relationship with the señorita will make the substitution immeasurably easier.
Yes, but you don't mention the fact that if anything should go wrong, I am the fall guy.
Oh, why look on the downside? Think. You take a small risk. You save your fiancée's life. A tiny subterfuge, and she remains happy in the belief that science has given the lie to superstition.
You mean I don't tell her about the switch?
Honesty has destroyed more men than a bubonic plague. Professor Brady was also an honest man.
If I could have talked to him, I could have saved him.
Have you seen tonight's paper?
No.
Yeah, take it with you. Now, I call your attention to the box on the front page. The item about the photographer.
What will it take to convince you? First Brady, now the man who photographed the mask. What more proof do you want?
Professor Brady died of an infection. The photographer was run over and killed by a car. Hundreds of people are killed by cars every day. You want me to believe that this was decreed by Viticocha? Don't you see? I can't accept that.
Why not?
Because to admit that means turning the clock back 300 years.
Oh, darling, trust me. Trust my instincts.
And abandon mine.
Oh, what are we talking about? Instincts and philosophy? When the subject really is love.
I love you, but...
But?
I don't like the future I see. I love you and I love my work. But you know as well as I that every dig is going to have some ancient superstition connected with it.
Not with Viticocha. Please, please return the mask.
No.
All right. Then have you thought about how you're going to get out of here?
When I saw you, I was naive enough to believe that you'd come to rescue me. Who was it who knew where I was?
The priest at the old Huacan Temple.
And how did he know?
I don't know.
Then let me tell you. He knew because he's involved in it.
I don't believe that.
You haven't been able to think since you came to Peru. You figure there's some strange power in the curse, but you don't think the priest of a Huacan Temple would do anything to get his hands on that mask.
And so would the man who risked kidnapping you.
They're in it together.
I know for a fact that they're not. Fortune has asked me to steal the mask for him.
Why would he think you'd do that?
Because he has got you as a hostage.
Then tell him I won't give up the mask, and you won't consider stealing it. And he has to let me go because I'm of no use to him.
He knows I love you.
You've never stolen anything in your life. If you go through this, we're finished. I never want to see you again.
And now, senor, now that you've convinced yourself how the senorita feels, we do our deal.
I'm listening. You're so clever, I can smell your cunning from here.
You had better hope so, because the success of our venture depends upon my cleverness.
It's what bothers me. I don't like the idea of having to spend the rest of my life in a Peruvian prison.
What you fail to realize is the depth of my desire for the mask. I must have it. You see, it's almost become an obsession.
I see.
Therefore, I must take every precaution to ensure your success. Yeah. This is the key to the late Professor Brady's office. We took it from the senorita's handbag.
And I suppose the mask is just lying on his desk.
The mask is in the safe in his office until it is transferred to the museum.
Well, then we can forget it. I'm no safe cracker.
These numbers are the combination to the safe.
Also from Nancy.
Also.
She'll have a lot to hate me for.
One must be alive to hate.
You do have a knack for pressing the right buttons. How do I get into the building? You know there are guards.
Two. On Thursday, at 11 o'clock, will be Jesus Alicante and Ramon Merona. They are not well paid, by the government, that is.
Will they stay bribed?
For two reasons. They will not be paid until after you've accomplished what you went there to do. I promise them that.
You seem completely confident about that.
There's someone you must meet. Topa! Topa, come here. Bring the case. Topa is a genius. An unequaled forger of artworks of all kinds. I also know that I can trust him absolutely, which is why he will accompany you on Thursday night.
No, I don't think I like that.
At exactly 10 minutes to 11 on Thursday night, you will leave your hotel by the side entrance.
I don't like the idea of a witness.
Come, Senor Kyla. To leave you alone with identical masks presents such a wealth of opportunities for devious dealing that I cannot allow it. It's out of the question.
All right. At 10 to 11, I leave the hotel by the side entrance.
Yes.
And?
There'll be a taxi cab waiting. It'll be driven by Topa. You'll get in. And from then on, everything will proceed as planned. Is that clear?
Perfectly.
Also, if any idea of giving the police the address of this house has crossed your mind, you should know that when you leave here, we do also. The house will be empty. Goodbye. And good luck on Thursday, Signor.
I'm sorry to be so shaky, Topa, but this is way out of my line. Oh, so far so good. Everything fortune said has happened. I haven't even seen the guards. I think you'd better... Yeah, close the door, Topa. Now, for the safe. How about my reading off the combinations to you? I think it'll be faster. Let me hold the flashlight. All right. 14 left. Then back past to 0 to 9 right. And 6 left. And finally, 2 right. That should do it. That should do it. Try it. Here's the case. Make the switch. We'll get out of here. What's the matter? Oh. All right, all right. I understand. I'll handle it. Topa! Topa. Topa, listen to me. I also have your blood. If that is Viracocha, he doesn't talk in anger. That is the sound of approval that we hear. Wait, wait. I'll get the mask.
Bravo! Bravo! I can see from your faces that you've been successful. Congratulations. And I have kept my word. Here is your senorita waiting for you.
Did you have a storm out here?
A storm? No.
No thunder?
Nothing. Senorita, pay close attention. If you're thinking about announcing to the world the truth of what has happened to the mask, not only do I advise against it, but I'm certain that will also be the advice of your fiancé.
Carlos is no longer my fiancé, and I couldn't care less about any advice he might offer.
Let me say that I agree with you. The whole matter of the curse is silly superstition. Professor Brady died because of an infection that followed his stepping on a piece of glass in his hotel bathroom. That was not Viracocha's doing, but mine. I also saw to it that the glass was impregnated with an exceedingly rare and virulent virus. Now, Signor, I'm sure you wouldn't want anything to happen to your lovely senorita.
Don't think you can frighten me.
Topa, the case, please. On my desk. Topa, show me the mask.
Do you get a kick out of torturing him? You know he's afraid to touch it.
Oh, yes. Yes, I should have remembered. I'll do it myself. Ah. Oh, exquisite. Truly a marvel of ink and art. If you could feel the softness of the gold, the warmth, as I run my fingers over it, I cannot describe. Give me.
Nancy, I'll hold him. Loosen his collar.
Please.
Is he dead?
Yes. Well, Nancy, there's the mask in his hand. What do you want to do?
Give it to me, please.
Here.
Topa. Here it is. The death mask of Tupac Amaru. It belongs to you and your people.
take it to them. And Carlos.
Yes?
Carlos, darling. Let's go home.
It's a scientific fact that the Indians of the Peruvian Amazon have a plant that painlessly extracts teeth. When they were told that our method of pulling teeth involves much blood and sometimes even pain, they cried out, "But what barbarians!" Of course, it would be barbaric to believe that Francisco Fortune's death came about from any but the natural causes of heart failure. But I strongly suspect that there may be some of us just barbaric enough to doubt it. I'll be back shortly.
Hi, this is Jose Feliciano, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Louis Braille Foundation for Blind Musicians, a national nonprofit organization working to promote the interests of the blind in the field of music. The foundation exists to help talented blind musicians achieve professional status as performers and teachers, providing them with auditions, evaluations, and counseling, paid engagements to qualified musicians, and the transcription of music into Braille. The services of the Louis Braille Foundation are available to any blind person. The foundation depends entirely on your contributions. So please help. Send your tax-deductible gifts to the Louis Braille Foundation, 112 East 19th Street, New York, 10003. Help a blind musician on his way. Thank you. I come home in the evening.
Every day, in every way, I'm getting better and better. That phrase was made famous in the 1920s by a French psychotherapist named Émile Coué. A lot of people swore that by believing it, they were cured. A lot of other people shrugged it off as being effective only on very gullible and not very sick people. What I wonder is, how many people died because they thought, "Every day, I'm getting sicker and sicker." The mind, my friends, the mind can play some strange and powerful tricks. Our cast included Ruby Dee, Michael Wager, Robert Dryden, and Dan Ocko. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I thought it was a cat. But then it rose straight up before me, and I saw it was Ilse's mother.
Monsieur has decided then? Ah, that is well. I am content. Here, give me your hands.
My hands?
But of course, for the dance. We go this night to celebrate. Ilse, come to us. Come quickly.
And suddenly, Ilse was there, and we joined hands, and we danced some steps that seemed oddly and horribly familiar to me. Ilse was dressed in rags, as I had seen her before. And then others were there, all dancing. And I heard voices crying, "To the Sabbath! To the Sabbath! On to the witch's Sabbath!"
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Sinoff, the sinus medicines, and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams. From KOIN in Portland, my name is Bill Garrity. Have a good night tonight and a better day tomorrow. It's 12 midnight.
CBS News. The House of Representatives votes today on whether to override President Ford's veto of a housing subsidy bill. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. House Speaker Carl Albert said last night there are not enough votes to override the veto. The housing bill was a major anti-recession effort by the Democratic leadership to spur home construction. President Ford vetoed it, claiming it was too costly. Democratic Senator Hubert Humphrey does not understand the president's logic.
I think it is a most regrettable action on the part of the president. It makes no economic sense. It was not in any way inflationary. When you stop and think that the unemployment in the building trades is over 20%, and when you stop and think that unemployment in the lumber industry is almost 20%, I think that the president was looking at the wrong set of facts.
Senator Hubert Humphrey. Mr. Ford, in vetoing the bill, asked Congress to extend existing housing programs. The president said he would release $2 billion to continue a federal program to subsidize mortgage interest rates at 7.5%. Mr. Ford also asked for another $7.5 billion to fund the same program for the next fiscal year. More news in a minute.
Hear ye, hear ye. Announcing American Profile, a lively anthology of 30 true stories about some of our remarkable forefathers, July 5th and 6th on the CBS Radio Network. It's our next bicentennial weekend special with CBS News correspondent Charles Osgood as anchorman.
I've been looking through the story of Philip Mazzei, American patriot who was born in Italy. His talents were many: surgeon, conservationist, businessman. And he was also a scientific farmer whose partners in a grape and olive growing venture in Virginia were two other farming enthusiasts, George Washington and Thomas Jefferson.
Charles Osgood spins 30 true tales of our early citizenry, including William Goddard, who pioneered the postal system, and Anne Surridge, an American Cinderella who married an Englishman at the height of American resentment against the British. Enjoy these 30 bicentennial vignettes on American Profile with Charles Osgood, the holiday weekend of July 5th and 6th, here on the CBS Radio Network.
Doctors in New York are working this morning to save the lives of 14 people who survived yesterday's crash of an Eastern Airlines 727 jet coming in from New Orleans. Most of the survivors are in serious or critical condition. They are burned and have multiple fractures. Out at the crash site, rescue workers are combing through the wreckage, hoping to find more survivors. CBS News reporter Sam Chu Lin was there.
The jetliner crashed just at the end of a runway at John F. Kennedy International, bursting into a ball of fire. That moment was literally preserved in time.
A number of the passengers had watches on their arms that stopped at 4 minutes, at about 7 minutes after four or 7 minutes after three, depending on whether or not they had moved their watch ahead.
New York City Deputy Chief Medical Examiner Michael Botten. Floodlights have been set up at the crash site, and the work continues. The search for more possible victims, clues as to why the 727 plunged to the ground as it approached for a landing in a rainstorm. Heavy machinery has moved into the area to clear the wreckage. Investigators want a closer look at what was once a jetliner and now is molten metal. Sam Chu Lin, CBS News, New York.
A team of investigators from the National Transportation Safety Board has arrived in New York from Washington. They'll meet this morning to begin a probe of just what caused the crash. One eyewitness says the plane was hit by lightning. Another report says the plane hit one of the landing light posts as it was landing. The voice recorder and flight recorder from the jet were recovered and flown to Washington. President Ford holds a news conference today, and he may be asked about accusations by Senator Frank Church that the White House is holding back parts of the Rockefeller Commission evidence supposedly promised the Senator's Select Committee investigating the CIA. That committee will hold another closed-door session today, hearing from former CIA official William Harvey about his supposed involvement in an alleged plot to kill Cuban Premier Fidel Castro. CIA Director William Colby, meantime, is scheduled to appear before the House Government Operations Committee. It is probing the CIA's use of secret files and interception of mail. More after this.
All tucked in, sweetheart? Give Mommy a kiss. Good night.
Good night, Mommy. Mommy?
Yes?
We saw these pictures in school today of these really poor kids. Were we ever poor, Mommy?
No, I guess we've been lucky. We've always had enough to eat and warm clothes to wear.
Why?
Because Daddy has a good job and brings home money to pay for things.
Don't poor kids have daddies?
Not all of them do.
Well, if some of them do, why can't they get money?
I guess because you just don't start being poor. Sometimes their parents were poor and their parents before them. It's a hard thing to stop. They need food and education and medical care to grow up strong and work to do so they can make money and not be poor anymore.
Why doesn't somebody help them?
Save the Children asks the same questions.
With your help, we're finding the answers. Please send your contributions to Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York 10017. Do it now. Someday we may never hear those questions again.
Opponents of Indian Prime Minister Gandhi plan a rally today in New Delhi to announce a nationwide campaign of passive resistance aimed at making her resign. Yesterday, a Supreme Court justice ruled that Mrs. Gandhi can remain in office until the court rules on her appeal of a conviction of election fraud. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
The state medical examiner's office in Portland is seeking help from the public in identifying three men whose bodies are found in the Willamette and Columbia Rivers earlier this month. Two of the bodies were recovered from the Willamette River on June 13th and 17th, the other from behind the intake screen of a Bonneville Power Dam house, also on June 17th. The body of one of the Willamette River victims is described as that of a man about 35 years of age and dead a few weeks. He's about 5 feet 11 inches tall, 200 pounds, wearing a blue jean jacket and brown trousers. He had a gold ring with a large square-cut stone. The second man found at the dam was in the river a short time, but could have been preserved in the cold water to some extent. He was middle-aged or older with white hair and whiskers, 6 feet tall, and, according to authorities, had bad teeth, possibly from chewing tobacco. The third man was described as in his late 30s and in the Willamette a week or a little more. He had graying, curly hair and beard, was about 5 feet 11 inches tall, 160 pounds, and had no teeth. President Ford has named two Willamette Valley students as presidential scholars. They were named, along with 119 others named across the country, for their academic achievements, leadership potential, creativity, and achievement in the arts and humanities. Jeffrey Brown, a 1975 graduate of Lake Oswego High School, and Ruth Mazo, a 1975 graduate of South Eugene High School, are among the students invited by Ford to visit Washington, D.C. on June 29th and 30th. Brown is the son of Walter and Barbara Brown, and Miss Mazo is the daughter of Robert and Joan Mazo. A former graduate student in biology at the University of Oregon will leave Portland on Thursday for the island of Palau in Micronesia to help start a fisheries program. Wendy Hirschberger will be among the four persons on the Smithsonian Institution Office of Ecology Project. The four will get together for the first time in San Jose, California on Sunday for an orientation before leaving for the island and a research station. She learned to scuba dive while working for the Oregon Fish Commission at Newport for 1 year, part of her research with clams on the estuary resource sampling project. She recently has been working with the Department of Environmental Quality on air pollution control and auto emissions. Newsprint production at the Oregon City and Newburgh Mills of Publishers Paper Company resumed Tuesday. That ended that 83-day strike. The vote was reported to be 226 to 96 by members of the Association of Western Pulp and Paper Workers to accept the one-year contract. The company says the contract provides for wages and benefit increases of more than 18%. Oregon City employees had been on strike since April 2nd. Newburgh production was halted April 4th when pickets were posted at the mill by the Oregon City locals. Negotiations on a new contract at the Newburgh mill are scheduled to begin on Thursday. The weather for the Portland metropolitan area: showers this morning, decreasing in the afternoon with partial clearing. Showers likely again Thursday. Highs will be in the low 60s and lows near 50. Wind southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. And the chance of measurable rainfall decreasing to 60% this afternoon and 40% tonight. Currently in downtown Portland, the temperature is 55. At the airport, it's 53. Wind from the south-southwest at 11 miles per hour. The barometric pressure reads 30.16 and rising, and the relative humidity is 80%. And that's KOIN News at 9:30 minutes past midnight. This is Alan Archer.